With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this Christmas, our hymns are 379, 370, 380, 367, 366, 388, and 524. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Jesus Bringing Salvation, taken from Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 4. Don and Judy Bogusmeyers are sponsoring the radio broadcast this morning. We are thankful for the God's blessings during 60 years of marriage. As a congregation, we thank them for their sharing God's
blessings. Merry Christmas. It is great to be with all of you here on this Christmas Day and also on this Lord's Day as we come together to both celebrate and to receive God's many gifts to man. Today especially we remember his greatest gift, the giving of his own Son, to be humbly born in our likeness, to bring salvation to mankind. That is what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus means salvation or God saves. And that is what we are celebrating together this morning, that God is born incarnate, bringing salvation, and we pray that he would also be born in us also, bringing that very same gift to each and every one of us. And may we sing together with joy our first hymn together, number 379. Thank you. please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The prophet Zechariah foretold the coming of the promised King, who would bring salvation to his people. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Jesus, you are our righteous King. Through your birth, life, death, and resurrection, you have brought to us the gift of salvation. The name we love, the name of Jesus, means God saves or salvation. An angel told Joseph to take Mary as his wife, saying, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus, our Lord, you came to save us. Hear our prayers and accept our praise as we rejoice today in your birth. The Apostle Peter, on trial for preaching the good news about Jesus, said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus, you alone are the way of salvation. And the Apostle Paul wrote about Jesus' saving work. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let us confess our sins to God and ask for his forgiveness. Almighty God, we confess that we do not always live according to your word and will. We do not walk in love as Jesus did. And even though we have received your gracious gift of salvation, we often hesitate to share the good news of Jesus with others. Forgive us our sins and lead us by your Spirit to walk in your ways. Today we celebrate the grace of God revealed in the gift of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Child of Bethlehem was born among man to suffer, die, and rise again to bring us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Upon this, your confession, therefore, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by his command, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rejoice in the birth of Jesus our Lord. There is no other name by which we can be saved. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this joyful day, we offer our thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Child of Bethlehem was born among us to bring us salvation through his humble birth, his perfect life, his suffering, death, and resurrection. We confess Jesus as Lord, and we love his holy name, the name by which we are saved. As we celebrate his birth, help us to walk in love as our Lord walked, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to share with others the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus. Hear our prayers and accept our praise in his holy name. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, number 370. Our Old Testament reading for this Christmas morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, 380. Once in a while, I find it fun to look up the meanings of people's names. And then comparing those names, those meanings, to the actual lives and personalities of the people. Today, we don't usually care so much about the meaning behind a child's name. We ourselves generally pick names which just sound nice to us. But even still, I like to find coincidences. Because when you do so, sometimes you realize that people really do live up to those names. You know, like for me, for example, as many of you might remember, my name means handsome. And with Maria now cutting my hair as she did just a few days ago, as long as I don't hear her say, oops, then yes, I'm a prime example of that, right? I live up to that name, the meaning of that name. And if not, I'd like if you just humor me in pretending that's the case. But then there's people who really don't live up to the meaning of their name. The name Maria, for example, I'll admit it's kind of hard to nail that one down, but depending on what you think the origin of the name is, it can mean sea of bitterness. It can mean other things as well, but that one's just too hard to pass up, right? Because if you ever talk to Maria, then you know that is the most alien description of her as you can get. You talk to my wife and you know it immediately that bitterness is such a foreign description of her. She's shy, but she's so kind and gentle. But when we look at the Christmas story, I love to hear how Jesus got his name. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus we heard earlier means God's salvation, or it can mean Savior. It's interesting to note, though, how common the name Jesus actually was back in that day. Back in the first century, there was a Jewish historian who said how there were at least 12 other people with this exact name, the name Jesus. You can really get the sense that at this time, the Jews were really longing, truly longing for some kind of salvation. They were so eager for salvation that you can see them expressing it in the very naming of their children. And yet one after another, those other 12 proved that saviors they were not. How common are saviors in name alone? There are so many things who pretend to be saviors. There's many people that we might put our hope and our confidence in to be our saviors. But in the end, we notice how they all inevitably fail. Again, these others had the name Savior, but they didn't have the power to save. For beloved, there is only one true Savior. And in the Bible, we see how this Jesus takes on the title for himself. Jesus, who came down from heaven, he himself takes up that name, that office, and that power. He has engrossed himself with the title Savior. This Jesus of whom the angel speaks, and whose birth we celebrate this morning, is well deserving of the name he bears. But of course, that shouldn't surprise us. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see just how seriously God takes the task of naming people. Naming children, it's usually a duty and a privilege which God has entrusted to a child's parents. But often enough in Scripture, after God has brought someone to faith, we see how he changes their name. It happens a few times in Scripture that once God takes possession of someone, he will rename them. For example, Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. Simeon becomes Peter. Saul becomes Paul. God names and renames people for a purpose. He doesn't do it on a whim, but rather all of these name changes have meaning behind them. And here, does God then take to the naming of Jesus at his very birth, at the very beginning? Seeing as Jesus is his son, so then does the Father in heaven take up naming the child himself, and to name him intentionally. "You shall call his name Jesus, because," the angel says, "he shall save his people from their sins." Our Lord Lord had many other names and offices, but this one is especially and uniquely taken up to be his own personal name. The Heavenly Father, who knew Jesus best, who knew him eternally and perfectly so, who knows him intimately, an eternal unity of persons. This Father knows him best as Savior. God the Father, who knows him best, sees this to be his greatest characteristic. He's a Savior, and that duty, that characteristic, is best represented then by giving him that most blessed name, Jesus. Again, it's infinite wisdom that has chosen this name. Jesus isn't given the name of some secondary value, but at the very core of who Jesus is, we learn that he is a Savior. Again, this name wasn't chosen by a man. This isn't a Savior of our own making, but this Savior is come from God. Infinite wisdom has called him Savior, and so Savior then he must be. Dear friends, what a glorious name the Father has graced us with. With this word, he tenderly invites us to come to this Christ child, trusting that he will save us, trusting that he is your Savior. And just in case we might misunderstand his mission, the angel goes on to explain what we need saving from. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a blessed name, description that is of Jesus. The name given to man by which we must be saved. The name that is above every name. The name he gives to his people, the angel says. Again, it's interesting to note that Jesus is foremost a Savior, which means that he has a people who are in need of being saved. A Savior implies a saved people. Jesus can't be a Savior if there's no people to save. Jesus' chief name wouldn't be called Jesus if his plan wasn't to rescue and to save a people for himself. Except that is exactly what he does. He will save his people, the angel says. And what a wonder to think that the first link that connects my soul to Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. It's not my righteousness that connects me to Jesus, but it's my sin. It's not my merit, but my misery. It's not my riches, but my poverty and my dire need. Not my beauty, but rather my deformities and all of my spots and wrinkles. If Jesus is chiefly a Savior, then it is my need to be saved that so connects me to him, rather than any merit or worthiness in me. If Jesus is a Savior, then what must connect me to him is my need of being saved, saved from sin, death, and the devil. And to us who trust and call upon him, we are those who take on that label of his people. Again, he will save his people from their sins. And who else are his people than those who come to him by faith? Who else could be his people than those who call upon him to be saved? Yes, those rather who he has chosen since before the foundations of the world. Those whose names are engraved on the very palms of his hands. The ones who are written upon his heart. Those whom he prayed for in the upper room on the night when he was betrayed, saying, Lord, I have lost none whom you have given to me. Dear friends, if Jesus was Savior at his birth, what must he be now that he is alive forevermore? If Jesus was a Savior lying in a manger, what must he be now that he is exalted, living on high and sitting at the right hand of the Father? If he was a Savior in the form of a baby, he was rightly bestowed that name from God on high, how much more then are we to bestow that blessed name upon him ourselves? Now that he's ascended on high, how much are you and I to call him our Savior? How much more are we to trust that blessed name, Jesus, now that we see him crowned in glory, who is night and day making intercessions for us? How much more are we to call him Savior, seeing that he is able to save to the uttermost all who come to him, now that all who call upon him shall be saved, now that all who come to him he will in no wise cast out? If wrapped in swaddling clothes he was the Savior of the world, what is he now that the heavens have received him? He is Savior indeed. The earth knows it. Hell howls at it, and it fights against it, and the heavens chant this message, singing her songs of praise continuously, saying, blessing and honor and glory and might and power be to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who was slain. Eternity shall reveal it when Jesus comes on that last day. The saints shall stand singing praises to Jesus the Savior, saying, who is like God? Merciful and kind, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. No other name shall ever be found upon our lips as we sing, Jesus only is my life and salvation. I like how Paul calls it so great a salvation, as if he felt it impossible to even estimate the vastness of it. And elsewhere he calls it eternal salvation. So great, so good, so eternal, so consistently beautiful is the salvation of Jesus Christ. He comes bringing that salvation in his hands, and we can be sure that he will bring it to completion. That is, perfectly, saving to the uttermost all those who believe in him. How completely Jesus fulfills that office of Savior, that he leaves nothing undone. Rather, beloved, everything for life and salvation has been accomplished for you through the all-availing sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross. He saves by giving himself and his all as a substitutionary sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. He bears the penalty of human sin. He bears it to the cross, taking our guilt and shame and giving us, rather, his perfect righteousness. And once more, dear friends, there's a lot of people today who have a lot of opinions about who Jesus is. I'm sure you're aware many people in the world simply call him good teacher. Others call him a moral teacher. Some say that he was just a guy, a leader. There's a lot of people today who are not afraid to tell you their opinions about who Jesus was. But needless does it need to be said that we don't need to listen to the foolishness of such wise men as they often get labeled. For anyone who does not know Jesus primarily and chiefly as Savior doesn't even know his first name. He who doesn't know his personal name, Jesus the Savior, knows virtually nothing about who the Lord is. Those who are ignorant of his chief characteristic have no right to teach others about him. If someone does not know Jesus as Savior, then what value could they ever teach us about who he is? They prove themselves rather utter strangers to him and to everything that he is about. They'll give you their own man-made interpretations and beliefs, but they know not him as God the Father knows him, and as the Father himself has revealed him. Let God be true and every man a liar, the scriptures say. May we rest upon the Lord and what he has spoken, that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world, saving man from the iniquity of their sins, the Savior of your very soul whose birth we celebrate this morning. Beloved, let us celebrate in that Christmas joy in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning as we remember your blessing given to us. We ask that we would recognize all things as having come from you. Teach us to trace all of our blessings back to your sovereign good hand. We praise you this morning for all of our daily gifts of body and soul. We thank you for food and drink, family, friends, house, and home. And this morning, we thank you most especially of your greatest gift, when you sent your Son into the world to be our Savior. Lead us in thanksgiving, and lead us further into sharing your gifts with others as we reflect your love and mercies to those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are full of compassion. You are the God of peace. You are the Lord of the living, and you mercifully look upon the world as you send your heart out towards us. We ask that you would so move us to confess Jesus as both Lord and Savior, and lead us likewise to rely upon him for the salvation of our souls. With all boldness, lead us to confess our sins to you, knowing that you care for us. Lead us to rely ourselves and our souls upon your mercy, knowing that you have never turned back and never will turn back a sinner who comes to you for mercy. As we come before you, just as we are, we ask that you would shape us then into your likeness. Give us your Spirit that we may live according to everything that is true, beautiful, and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Savior of the world, you have come so that we may have life and light. As you have made yourself known chiefly as Savior, so guide pastors and teachers to proclaim you as such. Let your truth go out into the world that you are a God of grace and that you have compassion, saving to the uttermost all who call upon you. And we ask that you would further be with parents of this congregation, that they may so teach the faith to their children. Be with all congregation members and all brothers and sisters in the faith, that all may be witnesses to the world around them. Help us to each be your servants and to spread your life-giving name to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, as seems good to you, you bring life, health, and healing to your creation. From you comes healing of body, soul, and spirit. You are the Prince of Peace, and we ask you that you would bring relief to all the saints who are struggling with the woes and cares of this world. All who are suffering from the consequences of sin, bring them your Spirit to comfort them. Give all who are suffering your blessed presence. And remind us all that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Be with us, granting your peace which surpasses understanding. Likewise, be for all who are on our prayer list, for everyone who is in our hearts and minds, for our shut-ins, nursing home residents, military personnel, and missionaries, for all who are away from home and away from family, grant them the joy of your presence and the joy of Christmas, knowing that you shall come again to make all things new and to wipe away every pain and every tear from our eyes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our service will continue with the service of the sacrament, which is printed in the bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of creation of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 524.